listening to a podcast of Living Faith located at 51 North Market Street, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, a community of faith, love, and hope.
What a privilege to be in worship together of the Lord. You know, I mean, it's such sweet, sweet worship here. And in this place, this spirit is so wonderful. I thank you, team, for what you brought us through and the prayers and just to center us on God. And that's where right where we want to be. There's a scripture in Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah 58, and towards the end of it, it says that we would be a well-watered garden in a sun-scorched land. And I think that that's what God wants for us. In that chapter, it talks about how we are to pour out into the needs of others. And then if we do that in a sun-scorched land, we will be a well-watered garden. And so that's where we're going to go this morning, that we would just trust that God is going to take us to a place that sometimes might be a little uncomfortable. But I do believe that he wants us to be a well-watered garden in a sun-scorched land. Okay, let me pray for one second. Father God, I just thank you and praise you for this moment. I feel your Holy Spirit's power in this room and the Spirit of God hovering here. And so, Father, I pray that you would take me, this broken vessel that stands before these people, that stands in your holy presence, that we would know that it was you that guided us through. We thank you for these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple weeks ago, I traveled to North Carolina, and it was great to travel by myself. I kind of like to travel by myself. I know that's kind of weird, but I like to meet people and meet new people. And so I went to this local coffee shop, and I met this woman. She was there. She was crocheting these prayer shawls. And we got to speaking with one another, and she was telling me about her family, and she was telling me about her father-in-law, and he had passed away 2 years ago, and how much she loved him. But what she said that he told her and taught her, one of the sayings that he taught her was that he loved to be in the dirt, like out in the garden, you know. And he really feels that as his people, that we should be in the dirt daily. And the reason he feels that way is because we came from dirt, right? We were formed out of the ground. And it's our connection to the Father. And so I believe that there's dirt on this floor. And I believe that we are connected to the Father. And we're going to trust and know that whatever it is he wants for us individually as his people, that he's going to show us something new today that you might have never seen before. Could have been through the song, could have been through the prayer, could have been through whatever it is. I just know that God is here. And so we're going to trust that our connection to the dirt is going to connect us to the Father. There's some sayings that Irene's going to stick up there for us. And, you know, I believe that as believers that we need to do a better job of personal connection to those that we walk by. And I think one of the things that we can do is through just a simple smile. I mean, a lot of times if you just pay attention to people and look at people, very few of them are smiling these days, right? Mother Teresa had some cool saying. She said she believed that peace began with a smile. She also said that every time you smile at someone, it is an action of love, a gift to that person, a beautiful thing. You know, I believe that sometimes you can tell it's hard for people to smile back at you. I think they think maybe you want something or whatever it is, but I think that it can be God's love pouring out from us. It might be the only time that they see it anytime during that day because they're so hunkered down on their own stuff, right? Now, my son, he did some traveling. He works for Armstrong, and at one point, he was going to Russia every month for this plant that they were building over there, but they had to do these cultural trainings before they went. Now, get this. In Russia, you don't smile to people on the street. So if you know of any Russian people, you'll notice they're very stoic. You know, they don't really smile. And in their culture, you are considered like the village idiot if you smile on the street. Which is shocking to me, because we in the States feel that's a connection, that's a love story, that's a piece of love, a piece of us, a piece of God that we can pour out. So we live here. I don't know if you knew that. We don't live in Russia. And I think that it's important that we understand that we can show Christ's love from something very simple as a smile to somebody that you encounter that day, to notice them, to say that God loves them. I want you to watch this short video about a young boy that recognized that he needed to try to change what he was seeing through a smile.
Power of the spirits. Here's Steve Hartman on the road.
It is every kid's
worst nightmare. And 6-year-old Jade Page has lived twice. First, he lost his dad when he was 4. Then last month, his mom died unexpectedly in her sleep.
I tried to get her away.
Jade is understanding heartbreak.
Anybody can die. Just anybody.
But there's another side to his grief. A side he first made public a few weeks ago when he told his aunt and now guardian, Barbara DiCola, that he was sick and tired of seeing everyone sad all the time. And he had a plan to fix it.
And that was the beginning of it. That's where the adventure began.
Jaden asked his Aunt Barbara to buy a bunch of little toys and bring them here to downtown Savannah, Georgia, near where he lives. So he could then give them away.
Thank you, man.
What is it you're doing?
Well, trying to make people smile. Rubber duckies, dinosaurs.
Because those are the things that make people smile.
Yeah.
And what happens to their face?
You
know, Jaden targets people who aren't already smiling and then turns their day around. He's gone out on 4 different occasions now, and he's always successful.
It's to make you smile.
Even if sometimes he doesn't get exactly the reaction he's hoping for. It is just so overwhelming to somebody that a 6-year-old orphan would give away a toy expecting nothing in return except a smile. Of course, he is paid handsome. And his aunt says these reactions have done wonders for Jaden.
It's like sheer joy came out of this child. And the more people that he made smile, the more this light shone.
Jaden says that's mostly true.
But I'm still glad that my mom died.
I bet you are. This is by no means a fix. But in the smiles he's made so far, nearly 500 at last count, Jaden has clearly found a purpose.
I'm counting on it.
$33,000?
33,000?
That's a pretty big goal.
Mm-hmm.
You think you can make that goal?
Oh, I think I can.
I think you just did. Steve Harmon on the road in Savannah, Georgia. And that's the CBS Evening News.
You see, he's crying. Yeah. Isn't that the sweetest thing? You know, and you heard the aunt say, you know, the light, right? The light came through, you know, and shining through to these people who, and he targeted those that weren't smiling, right? And then what it did for him, and I think the most surprising thing was his mother was only gone for a month. Okay? Think about that. How many of us adults hunker down on our sorrow for long, 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 rather than I think what God wants us to do is pour it out, right? To make a difference. And then it heals us, right? A smile, a simple thing like a smile, very, very cool. It could help to be the thing that heals us if we pour out this light. And as Jaden did, he just poured out into other people. Healing for ourselves as well as for others 1 month after losing his mother through the generosity of duckies and dinosaurs. What is it in you? What's the ducky and dinosaur in you that you need to pour out to show the love of Christ, the light of Christ to others? Now, the scripture I'm going to use today is from Luke 7. It's 36 to 50. And if you have your, I'm going to read it and we're going to go through it piece by piece. Now, you might think that this is a weird scripture to use for generosity, and it kind of is, but I believe it's very, very important. Okay? Luke 7, 36 to 50. And I use the version, it's not NIV, it's like Common English Bible is the one that I use. So, Luke 7, 36 to 50. This is a story about the Pharisees, and I don't know, let me just, so we're all on the same page, the Pharisees, they were the religious people, all right? I don't consider myself a religious person. I'm a relationship person. I think that when we label ourselves as religious, it just is, I don't know, it's all about rules and regulation. We worship Jesus Christ, who is all about freedom, all right? Doesn't mean you can do anything you want, but it means that you are forgiven and that there is this freedom there that the religious people tend to miss. And so Christ would always kind of call out the Pharisees. They were the religious people. And so in this first verse of Luke 7, it's actually verse 36. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him. After he entered the Pharisee's home, he took his place at the table. Now, this scene, if you can imagine it, these tables that they had, that they were really low. They were low to the ground. And they would have these like almost like lounges that they would like couches that they would be leaning on, laying down, almost reclining at, that would be at these low tables. They would be kind of leaning on their left arm and their head would be toward the table and their feet would be away from the table. So, and most likely these tables that they were at, their sandals were removed. All right. So one of the Pharisees, so Jesus took his place at the table at this Pharisee's home. Now, meanwhile, a woman from the city, a sinner, discovered that Jesus was dining in the Pharisee's house. She brought perfumed oil in a vase made of alabaster. Now, isn't it interesting that the scripture says that meanwhile, a woman from the city, a sinner. Now, I don't know about you, but everybody's a sinner, right? So whatever it is that she did, it was very public. You know, she was known for her sin, okay? Shamed. I mean, like the first song you guys sang was perfect for what I'm talking about today. She was sitting and living in this great shame. Now, she went to this house of the Pharisee, which was actually scandalous. Because the Pharisees were the religious people, and sinners, they shamed them and treated them horribly. But she had such great courage. She couldn't be stopped from entering this home. That's a big deal in her day that she was known as a sinner, and she entered this religious home, all right? Now, the scripture goes on to say that standing behind him, as she stood behind Jesus at his feet and crying, she began to wet his feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured the oil on them. Now, this crying that she did, it wasn't just like weeping that I can't believe that I'm, you know, in this house to begin with, and that I can't believe that I'm in the presence of Jesus. And it wasn't like that. This crying was like lamenting. She was mourning. She was crying out that she was behind Jesus. She couldn't be stopped from doing this act to him. So these tears of hers were so big that they were wetting his feet, and that she used her hair to wipe his feet. Now that in itself was scandalous. Because you wouldn't have at that time had your hair down in front of all these men. She was in a room full of men, okay? And she's known for her sin. Yet she couldn't be stopped from this generous act. She was willing to do anything to show her love to Jesus. She was so overcome with emotion, and she wasn't going to stop it. It was amazing. And the oil that she put on his feet from this alabaster jar would have been very, very expensive. It was extravagant, an extravagant gift that she could not be stopped from this generous act onto Jesus. It didn't matter to her that what the other men were thinking. I struggle with that. You know, what are these people thinking, you know, about me or whatever. I mean, we're always worried about the neighbors or what are the, I mean, when I was growing up, it was, you went out of the house and it was, well, don't do anything that the neighbors will find out about. You know, it's what will the neighbors think? You know, really, it doesn't matter what the neighbors think. It matters what God thinks. And this woman didn't care what these religious people thought. She already knew what they knew about her. And she didn't care. And she knew that she could not be stopped from this extravagant, lavished love upon Jesus. It was excessive generosity. So when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw what was happening, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. He would know that she is a sinner." Isn't it interesting? He thought that. He didn't say, hadn't have the nerve to say it out loud. In his head, he thought that. And if he were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. And, you know, he doesn't recognize that he himself is a sinner. It's always others. He's pointing out the wrong of others and the sins of others rather than looking at himself. He categorized hers as a big sin. She was a sinner. That was who she was. He labeled her as that. It was shame, unacceptable, the sin that she had committed. So then Jesus replied, Simon, who was this Pharisee who had this thought, I have something to say to you. He said, Teacher, speak. A certain lender had two debtors. One owed enough money to pay 500 people for a day's work. The other owed enough money for 50. So 500 compared to 50. When they couldn't pay, the lender forgave the debts of them both. Which of them would love him more? So Simon the Pharisee replied, I suppose the one who had the largest debt canceled. Jesus said, You have judged correctly. Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, I find that line interesting. Jesus turned to the woman, but he was talking to Simon, and he said this, Do you see this woman? Now, Jesus didn't mean her physical character. Do you see her? Do you see her? Do you discern who the woman is? Do you know this act of generosity and what it actually means? Or are you just looking at her, the physical? Do you see this woman? When I entered your home, you didn't give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with tears and wiped my feet with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has poured perfumed oil on my feet. This is why I tell you that her many sins have been forgiven. So she has shown great love. Simon didn't see this woman. He couldn't discern who she actually was. Christ really saw her and the intent behind her generous act. He saw her heart. He always sees the heart, not the act, the sin. The woman, because of this huge forgiveness, could not stop herself from being generous. Because of the great forgiveness of sin in her life, she could not be stopped from being generous. The one who is forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, Your sins are forgiven. I believe that this woman, because she knew her sins were so great, that she fully got it, that she fully understood that Christ's intent was to love her. He didn't see her sin. He loved her as a person. He was so appreciative of her heart, her generous act, that she couldn't be stopped from being a generous person. You know, I've been thinking about lately how so many times within the church, we really do a really poor job at understanding grace. You know, I think it's heartbreaking, actually. You know, and I think because this woman was through such a great, great trauma in her life, she was so appreciative of grace, like she could have never been before. I think sometimes when you're through such great tragedies and such great trauma in your own life, when you've made some poor choices or other people have made poor choices and it's hard to understand, but when you fully understand the hugeness of grace, mercy, and love, you are able to pour it out into other people. You are able to discern that their heart is so wanting to turn towards God God and not away from God. And when we as a body of believers are grace-filled and merciful and loving and kind, not looking at the sin, but seeing what Christ sees in the heart, it can change a person's life. It changed this woman's life. This mercy, this love, this grace that Jesus had poured out upon her, not looking at her as the Pharisees did, as a great sinner, but as someone who was worth redemption, that she was worth being loved, being treated with dignity as Jesus treated her, and how Jesus called out her great, extravagant generosity. It's amazing, isn't it? Jesus' love is so amazing, and what he did for us is so incredible that even though we mess up every day, that there's this extravagant love that he pours out on all of us. He loves us so unconditionally. It's amazing. And when you understand this fullness of this act that he did for you, you cannot be stopped from being a generous person. It's all about forgiveness and love and recognizing this love. I'm sure Christ was smiling at this woman when he recognized this generosity that she had poured out onto him. As God pours out himself to us. Mother Teresa said this. She said, I love what she said. She said, if you judge people, you have not time to love them. So what she's telling us to see is that Jesus is in every human being. If we judge them, we don't have time to love them. And as truly as you understand the deepest forgiveness Christ has lavished upon you, your response can be ridiculous generosity. Through deep faith and thankfulness, it is what God wants for you as he smiles down upon you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your example of grace and mercy and love, and to all of us who are deep sinners, but you see our heart. You see that we so want to be the people that you want us to be. Help us to pour that out into others that we encounter, Lord. And it could be just through a simple smile that we are able to change someone's day, that they would know that there is love and light in the world, even if it's through dinosaurs and duckies. Father, I just thank you for this love that you have so available to us if we're willing. Help us to be loving and kind to others, even the unlovable, even those that we would consider the greatest of sinners. So, Father, I thank you. Thank you so much for Jesus, for dying for our sins, that one day we can be in glory with you, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would help us, and through this great act of love that you have given to us, to be a more generous people, that we would pour out into others that need your love, that we would recognize that we are to move when you tell us to move. So, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do in and through us as we leave this place. And I pray, Father, that we could be the light that needs to be shown in a dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about Living Faith, check us online at livingfaithlancaster.org.